Show, and my guest today is Allison Camerata, and she's going to talk about her new book, and I'm excited, Camp Combat Love, A Jersey Girl's Search for Home. Allison, thanks for stopping by, and how are you?
I'm well, Neil. Thanks so much for having me.
I mean, it's got to feel great to get a book finished, right? It's like something, you know, as busy a job as you have at CNN and all these different things, it's something that you just never expected to write a book, right? With how busy your schedule is.
Well, this is why, Neil, it took me 10 years. I mean, it is so much more laborious and time-consuming than I ever thought, because as a broadcast journalist, things happen in, you know, 60-second increments. I mean, I have to write an intro, you know, when I'm anchoring, literally in the 2-minute commercial break, and I'm sometimes still writing while the floor director is going 5, 4, 3, you know, and I hit save and I look up, like, welcome back, everybody. But with book writing, it's just glacial, and that was surprising to me, but also I would say kind of therapeutic, because there's a breathlessness to TV news, and with book writing, you really slow it down and you're kind of by yourself, and it's, you know, very almost meditative. So it ended up being therapeutic, but yeah, it is not for, it's no get rich quick scheme.
No, I know that, unless I guess I have a self-publishing company and it's not a get rich quick. I'm trying to offer something else differently. And that's why I launched it, because I do represent a lot of authors, indie authors. So I know the challenges of selling books, but this is a love for you. So that many years to write. So you kind of said, when did you decide so many years ago to just keep just writing every day to at least keep getting closer and closer, it sounds like?
Yeah, I mean, I put it away for about a year during those 10 years because I had another book come out, a novel called Amanda Wakes Up, so I was focused on that book. But this story of my turbulent teenage years was always bubbling around in my head. And whenever I would have, you know, kind of a eureka moment or an insight, I would just write it down on a piece of scrap paper or on my laptop. And then once I could really commit to this in earnest, I would write on my commute home from the office, you know, so I live at least an hour away from work, but sometimes it can be two.
Okay.
And I just used that time, you know, so I used that time. Anytime I was flying somewhere on a shoot, I would, when the pilot would announce that we'd be stuck on the tarmac, I'd be like, oh, good, fantastic, more time for writing. Like, I loved it. So I really just used whatever spare time, because as you well know, Neil, like even 5 minutes a day or half an hour a day keeps the story percolating. And that's what you have to do, I think, to complete it.
Any project you work on that's not your current, like it's one of your projects, right? It's not your main job or your main business, can be forgotten. So you have to have a reminder. But let's kind of delve into this without giving the book away. It really kind of, we get to learn Allison, right? Not the Allison on CNN all the time as a journalist, but Allison as a person, because a lot of times you cannot put your persona as a journalist out there to really know who the real person is. That's the hard part of being a journalist, because your job is to be subjective and ask the right questions and kind of can give your personality, but not to the level of the background that you can do in a book.
Absolutely. You're so right, Neil. I mean, we're trained not to do that. We're trained not to become part of the story. We're trained not to let any of our biases get in the way of our reporting or our questioning or our storytelling. So, yeah, there's a definite like bifurcation between the neutral, you know, well-coiffed woman that you see on your TV screen and like this, her backstory of, you know, some challenges and pain and struggle. And I started to feel as though, particularly in these divided times, it might be helpful, actually, for viewers or certainly the people that I interview who are going through hard times to know that I see them. You know, I can relate. I, too, have known being broke. I, too, have known struggling with where to live and where I'm going to, you know, get my next meal and all of that stuff that, you know, I had a really kind of turbulent teenagehood. I left home at 16 and there were definitely hard times, and there was definitely times that I sunk into despair and depression. And I kind of just feel like now is the moment in these divided times to build those bridges with people. Everybody has a backstory of some struggle, everybody. And in that way, we can all, who cares what side of the political aisle you're on, you know, we can all relate to each other, I think, on that level. So I thought, I hoped that it would be valuable to share some of that struggle, because ultimately I did achieve my dream. So even though I had all of these challenges and struggles, I kept my eye on the North Star of wanting to be a TV reporter, and I crawled my way to it. And so I hope that there's something inspirational in that for people.
And not just a TV reporter for CNN that's covered the most, tumultuous and challenging and very exciting stories on CNN. I mean, go figure. Like, you have been involved in so many amazing interviews to so many different newsworthy events that have happened in your career. No one could imagine. What kept you going? Like, do you have a specific mindset? You know, we study people like Michael Jordan or the really, really successful people that have succeeded on their platform. Like, you've succeeded to get to CNN and have such a successful career. Did you have something always driving you to stay positive and keep going?
Well, it's funny that you ask that, Neil, because for me, up until very recently, so throughout my teenage years, throughout my 20s, even my 30s, I could not untie hunger from ambition. Hunger and ambition, and I mean hunger literally and figuratively, was so tied to ambition for me, because I was so hungry as a teenager and in my 20s. And I mean, you know, often I literally only had money for like a hot pretzel on the street. So I mean literal hunger, but I also mean the hunger to achieve something and to have a home and to have stability and to have a loving family. And it was only recently, like as a, you know, middle-aged woman, that I realized, oh, some people have ambition that were never hungry. Some people have just a different North Star, or they want to, you know, have great ambition because they want to help the world or invent something.
Right.
So for me, it was hunger. But I would say that, you know, obviously that comes, the upside of hunger is that I achieved a lot and I'm very grateful. And the downside is that it's hard as hell. You know, it's not without its mental health challenges. You know,
right.
There were times that I had great despair. So I think there's got to be maybe a better way to achieve your dreams than hunger, but that was my route.
See, and I think that if we look back at all successful people in life, if defining success in the way we define it, and the anyone who achieves their dreams is successful, doesn't matter what they did, they have achieved their success. But for when you achieve a success that everyone around you maybe didn't think was going to happen, it's something so amazing. But we just stay hungry to continue to strive forward. And some people, it happens at certain times and other times. But you're right, the depressed. But then once you got on the top platform, right, you got to the point where you're having these conversations with these amazing people, you had your negative people coming after you. So that's got to be stressful, right? Especially with, you know, politicians, different people coming after Allison Camerota. And so that's the hard part of this, is once you achieve success, you are in a different position than many people ever accomplished in the world, but you have a responsibility and also you have more stress than ever because of it.
I mean, yes and no. You know, I don't put that much, I don't give that much bandwidth to the haters or the critics, because I sleep with a clear conscience, because I just try to be fair. You know, I try to be fair to everyone that I'm interviewing. I try to be well-researched. I try to ask some questions that the people at home would ask. I'm never trying to have a gotcha interview. And when I have a fight with somebody on the air, I never know, I'm never planning to have that fight. I don't know it's going to go in that way. But if they're combative, I try, I think thanks to some of my thick skin as a teenager, to meet them where they are. You know, I do feel that some of my fending for myself as a teenager in combat love taught me how to kind of be, you know, battle ready. And I'm grateful for that. But I must say, the kindness that I get from viewers and from colleagues so outweighs any of the haters or the critics that I really appreciate that. So on balance, it's real. People are very positive. And in fact, I mean, people, strangers at the grocery store will come up and be like, thank you. You know, thank you for trying to be committed to truth, you know, or thank you for trying to get the story out. And that goes a long way with me.
Oh, no, absolutely. What I was meaning, the responsibility once you reach your goal. It's an amazing responsibility. Your days are different than lots of people's. And you have to at times reflect and say, wow, how much, you know, your day in the life of Allison Camerata got to be a crazy life. Once you're done with these radio tours, you're on to doing all these other things. That is part of we come up with those dreams. We weren't told those things. So you have to keep going. And that's where you keep your mental health in the right aspect. And I think this book is great in that way, Allison, because you're really going to be able to tell the true self that, hey, it's not rainbows every day. You're every day getting up and going to work and doing what you love. But ultimately, it's a process and you can't give up, right? I think that's one of the things you really wanted in this book is you can't give up regardless what circumstance you're in. You can keep going.
Oh, I totally agree. In fact, I realized in writing it that I don't have a motto that I live by, but I realized in writing it that one of the themes of my life is I don't take no for a final answer. We all have to take no for an answer. Sometimes people don't hire you. You don't get the job. You don't pass the test. A relationship ends. We all have to take no for an answer. I never took no as a final answer. And so when I would get job rejection, you know, nobody wanted, people saw my crappy resume tape, you know, right out of college and didn't want to hire me as a reporter. I just never took that as, well, that means that I suck or that means that I'm not going to do it. I just thought, well, that means I have to send out a 26th tape or a 27th tape. Like, it just wasn't the final answer. And so I think that to achieve your dream, that's what you need to do. And I also think because this was my dream and I've never forgotten how much I wanted it, waking up at 3 a.m., you know, for the morning show or flying to a terror attack in Brussels or whatever, I'm always grateful. Like, even for those hard times, I'm very grateful because I remember how much I wanted it.
That's the important thing. Gratefulness in the journey and gratefulness when you get there. And gratefulness for what's next to come. That will make your life a happy life. Best place people can pick up your book. Where can they go?
You can order it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or even your just local bookstore.
Awesome, Allison. Thanks again for stopping by.
Neil, such a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, take care. Bye. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.